Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into a rundown of the running back situations here around the NFL. So I've gone ahead, I've updated the human hand grenade index over to analyticsofdynasty.com. You can go ahead and check that out. And I think, there's not a ton of change. So I'll sort of indicate on here where I think there is some change. It's a couple of situations that I think have some ambiguity. So we'll talk about all those. Starting first with San Francisco, I've taken the starter for 2022 out of the Trey Sermon category. So to be honest with you, I don't know. And so, that's the key question here. You know, we were talking about it today in the group me chat, and it was, would you trade Sermon for Fant in non-premium, basically? And I said, I think I would. And I think the change is really that you've got a situation, I think, now that's moving. I don't think it was earlier. And I felt like we had a pretty good take on this. I thought we nailed it. And now we've got a whole bunch of information that I think we need to update for. And I see basically Sermon for Fant as pretty even, right? If you had gone back to rookie draft time, like that would have been pretty even. So I don't think you're taking a loss here. And with all the extra information in that we now have involving the Sermon situation, I'm fine deleveraging. I'm fine diversifying a little bit. So that was sort of my thought on it. That was my process through that. And I think that I would look to do that if you can. I don't know if you can, but I would look to do those opportunities if you can. So I am less confident now. I will say PFF grade 67.2 for Sermon, 62.9 for Elijah Mitchell. So there is some advantage there, although by no means has Sermon taken over the job. All right, New Orleans, pretty stock in terms of Alvin Kamara, Tony Jones. Alvin Kamara seen a lot, seen a big, basically leading them in target share, which is pretty amazing. It's rare for a running back to do that. So we're seeing that at Alvin Kamara. Tony Jones, the injury away guy, pretty confident there in terms of the alignment too. So high value opportunity and high confidence. All right, Dallas, and we've got Zeke as the starter. He's ahead of Pollard. High confidence, and it's a high-value situation. I still project Zeke to be the starter in 2022. Just by way of reference, you can get a little bit lost in some of these things. Zeke, 44 carries to 27 for Pollard. Zeke has, Pollard on a per-carry basis is outproduced him. Outproduced Zeke, he's averaging 6.8 yards per carry to 4.5. I'd just be cautious about that because, that's fine. Like, the number's bigger. The usage isn't the same either. Like, you're seeing him used on jet sweeps and stuff that Zeke just isn't getting the opportunity to do. And that shows up a little bit in terms of some of the expected yards and that sort of thing. So I wouldn't use that as a indicator on Pollard's better than Zeke by any means. He does grade out better than Zeke, but I wouldn't use yards per carry as an indicator. 4.5 for Zeke and his usage is totally fine. Pollard, 84.6 PFF grade, 74.3 for Zeke, so that one shows up. Three touchdowns for Zeke, one for Pollard. I think the big one, and this would surprise people, you could win bets at cocktail parties, 92 routes for Zeke, 28 for Pollard. So this is not Pollard taking Zeke's job. Be absolutely 100% clear about that. This is Pollard basically getting some run on the ground, not taking Zeke's job. Absolutely not. And I think that routes number really speaks to that. All right. So Minnesota, we got a good Alexander Mattison game. Like, I was very nervous, and I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again. The last time we got an Alexander Mattison clear start was it was a total disappointment. It was at home, Atlanta. Cousins just defecated on himself, and there was like I think 12 carries for Madison. It was like total disappointment. He looked great the week before in terms of relief. I think he had like 20 carries in the second half of the game before we're like, oh, this is a glorious situation, and then Cousins just totally defecated all over himself. And so that was just a bad That's a bad beat. So I was so nervous for that to happen again. But Madison comes through. So big game here. So we'll see. We're watching Dalvin Cook. I think your first indication is going to be Wednesday practice report. And then I think really probably the practice report I begin to watch is Thursday. So we'll see if he goes at all. If he's a limited, I think that's an indication that he's going to play. And then, you know, we'll see Wednesday, Thursday, and then watching a Friday about what this situation could offer. But Madison, chalk one up. We're 1-for-1 on starts this week. Or 1-for-1 for starts from, you know, getting a clarified start on Madison and having it come through this year. So feel good about that one. The Rams, and you've got Sony Michel comes in. You know, it's not a big game against Tampa, but, you know, gets a pretty hefty workload. So that's good to see. I think the big question is going to be ultimately, is Daryl Henderson able to play through this rib injury? And if so, when? I don't think there's a huge need to bring him back. Like, they've kind of shown, like, hey, we're going to treat him delicately. And I wouldn't have a problem with them doing that. Like, and what will be really interesting out of the running back position as well is how do teams treat, and probably at large, but I think the running back position in particular, how do teams treat injuries now? And it's a 16-game season, years prior. Now we're bumping up to 17. Not a huge difference, just one more. But if you're sort of looking at that, you know, you're thinking about return to play and all of those things, are teams a little bit less urgent to bring guys back? So, you know, hey, we'll take another week off, especially when you get a game like, you know, say Madison, where he plays well in replacement of Cook, right? You're sort of coming off of that. Do we see more of those situations, a slower return back? You know, what would be a 1-week injury with, you know, game time decision in week two becomes a full 2-week injury with, you know, maybe it's a game time decision week three, or maybe you're much more likely to come back in week three, something like that. You just see that get pushed off a little bit into the future. I kind of wonder if that'll happen a little bit more. So it'll be something I'd just be curious to track. I don't know if we'll get good convincing, like statistically predictive data or anything like that, but that's just a trend we're going to have to watch here going forward. All right, Cleveland, and you get Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. They're smashing. Just to lead the league in rushing attempts, and just a lot of opportunity there for both of them. So, again, I feel confident about the whole situation. I was asked, you know, on the Football Guys Roundtable, you know, could you feel confident starting both? It's like, our prior on that should be yes. Absolutely. Like, kind of absolutely. I think that's a really interesting and intriguing situation. Aaron Jones smashing for Green Bay. He continues to be probably one of the undervalued, bell cow guys. And in terms of lead backs, like, he's definitely very, very capable. AJ Dillon, the one injured way guy. I do put Kylan Hill on the list, but I think it's a pretty clear pecking order there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire finally comes back, gets, you know, some positivity there in terms of his arc, and a good game here in week three against the Chargers. So there, which is what we thought. You know, hey, listen, they're going to kind of seed the run game to Kansas City. That makes a lot of sense. And lo and behold, that's what they did. I think Daryl Henderson, good injury away guy. Still, I did add Jerick McKinnon in a couple spots where Devontae Booker got cut. And I just, you know, I had like a spare 20 minutes or so, and I was just trying to pick up rogue shares of just guys I thought were at all relevant. And he's one that I picked up, but it was deeper league. But, you know, that's the type of monitor I think you're looking at. Tampa Bay, it's a quagmire ultimately. Like, I don't have good confidence in terms of, I mean, I think we kind of know what the situation is, and we could say the same thing every week. It's kind of like Fournette's in the middle, and then you got Ronald Jones run exclusively, Giovanni Bernard pass exclusively. And I think if either guy gets injured, you sort of see Fournette bleed over. And I think that's how you see the most impactful guys is an injury on either side. Gio hurt here. I'm not sure the nature or the severity of it. So we're going to have to watch for it. It wasn't entirely clear to me how serious his injury was. So watch practice reports this week for sure on Gio. All right, Derrick Henry, lead guy in Tennessee. It's McNichols. We're on Darrington Evans' watch. I've had to cut him in a couple spots. I didn't feel great about it, but, you know, I'll be looking to potentially pick him back up here as he comes back around. But feel pretty confident right now in McNichols if it's Henry injury, and then we'll see what happens once once Evans comes back. All right, Atlanta, and it's pretty clear to me it is Mike Davis and then Cordarrelle Patterson. And I touched base a little bit on some of the workload stuff in this week's snap reaction. So you go ahead and check that out in terms of the running back stuff with these two guys. I think ultimately you're just seeing I think like Davis is probably undervalued, and we're going to get some production here. He's seventh in terms of expected points. Like, his workload's pretty good. He just hasn't really cashed it in yet. So we'll watch there for that. The Patriots is going to be a curious situation. Some rumblings that they're just don't trust Damian Harris in pass protection. We'll see how that ultimately folds out. Looks like we're going to have an extended, if not season-ending, injury for James White. Ramondre Stevenson, J.J. Taylor, Brandon Bolden, in some way, shape, or form, going to form the backup situation. Not entirely sure. Brandon Bolden was the one that came in and played a decent amount of snaps this past week. So, I think that's one where you could say, like, hey, what's the situation look like? Well, Harris is already almost up to the pass routes that he ran entirely last year. So he has 31 routes on the season. He had 46 all of last year. So he's matched his 2020 total in terms of 5 receptions. This past week, 20 Brandon Bolden routes, 13 Damian Harris routes, 8 Taylor, 4 White. So we'll see how that develops. They're bringing in and trying out guys. We'll sort of see here. And maybe Damian Harris can develop some more trust in the pass protection game for sure. All right, Vegas, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, there's no surprise here. Josh Jacobs is starting running back. Barber's the running back. Is the rusher to own when Jacobs isn't in there. Performs well. We actually saw him above zero in terms of, like, actual yards blocked, right? Last week he's basically met in the backfield on average a yard in the backfield. He was positive 0.5, which means he actually made it back to the line of scrimmage on average being clean, which is pretty nice for once. That's a good thing to see here. So potentially seeing maybe some growth out of the Vegas offense, or it just could have been a matchup thing. But he was a home favorite and actually played him in a decent amount of spots. And he was actually able to cash in for us. That was nice. Drake, one of the least inspiring running backs, is basically negative 2 yards against expectation on the ground per carry. Just a disaster. So we'll see. We'll see how that ultimately works out. Jonathan Taylor, we do have news here with Jonathan Taylor. The situation, I think, is interesting in terms of particularly Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack looks like he's on his way out. They're talking about trying to trade him. Maybe they'll cut him otherwise if he's not tradable. It could be Nyheim Hines. I think it actually makes Jordan Wilkins really interesting from an injury away perspective. So I'm going to ring that bell on injury away ads, free agent ads this week for sure there. So Jonathan Taylor, again, I go back and check out snap reactions. I think he's due for a massive breakout. So that would just be my thought on him. Leads the league in, or is tied for the league lead in rushing attempts in the red zone, and nothing to show for it. So I still think there's plenty of opportunity there. Tyson Williams, lead back in Baltimore. Latavius Murray, one injury away guy. Devonta Freeman, Le'Veon Bell, sort of behind them. I think everything's status quo. DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams, status quo there in Detroit. Both are running back ones at present. So that's pretty much the deal. James Conner outrushing Chase Edmonds in terms of actual carries. But you're seeing just more routes for Chase. So 35 carries for Conner, 31 for Chase Edmonds. And then it's just a total opposite here. It's a total flip the script. 76 routes for Chase Edmonds and 25 for James Conner. So and much, basically 4 times the production on a route run basis too. Chase Edmonds 1.59 yards per route run, 0.4 for Connor. So just a massive difference. So basically three times as many routes and four times the productiveness per route run. Just a massive difference there in terms of what you're getting in the passing game. It's Connor in the run game, Edmonds in the passing game. It's Connor marginally in the run game, Edmonds in the passing game. All right, Christian McCaffrey is probably going to be out this week, it looks like. It doesn't look like it's going to be an IR trip, so we'll be watching for that. Just this past week is the only real sample size we have. Chuba Hubbard, 11 carries, 52 yards, 19 routes. He caught three balls on five targets for 27 yards. Royce Freeman, 7 carries, 31 yards, 10 routes. He goes 2 for 2 for 9 yards in the passing game. So kind of shaping up like a 60-40, 70-30 type split in favor of Chuba Hubbard. We'll see ultimately how that goes. I would say, and I touched on this in the snap reaction stuff, this is very much a high-value situation, top five in terms of expected points for Christian McCaffrey. So if someone's going to slide into that job, even if it's like a 70% role, it's still plenty viable for a starter situation. All right, keep going down the line here. Melvin Gordon still ahead of Javonte Williams, and he's beating him. That's not a particularly big surprise. Devontae Booker out for the Giants. Elijah Penny and Gary Brightwell were the two guys active. Penny marginally more involved than Brightwell. I have this pegged this down to a low confidence level on both. I just don't have a particularly good feel. David Montgomery in Chicago. That's, you know, I kind of feel pretty good about that one. Damian Williams, the injury way guy, are still on Tariq Cohen watch. That's pretty much the story there. This is interesting with Joe Mixon. Zero Evans carries, but when you look, he's run 7 routes. He's gone 3 for 3 and 40 yards in the air on 7 routes. So that's basically the you know, I was listening to a bigger box podcast, and they were like, yeah, I'm really impressed by this Evans guy. I picked him up, and I was like, wait a second, what? Like, let me re-rack my Rolodex here. And it's just not, it's not a ton of volume. He's basically completely behind P. Ryan as well, and Mixon actually 49 routes to 13 for P. Ryan and 7 for Evans. So he's basically 50 out of the 70, just about 50 out of the 70 routes there out of the backfield are Mixon routes so far. So that's pretty much the situation ultimately there. Najee Harris totally is just totally game script proofed. He's leads in routes by a significant margin there in Pittsburgh, so feel good about that one. I don't have a great feeling behind him. I think it's Snell, maybe McFarlane. I don't know. I think I'm treating Snell as of right now, but I got a little confidence in it. Miles Sanders has 2 carries on Monday night. Kenneth Gainwell is the backup running back there to own. Like, I don't know. We'll have to see how that sort of that situation develops ultimately. Chris Carson, I feel confident that he's a starter in Seattle. Not really confident in the backup situation in terms of who it is. Penny's still out. You get Dallas, Collins, and Homer sort of working in a trio there behind Carson. So uncertainty there. James Robinson's really coming on for Jacksonville over the past 2 weeks. I think he's consolidating his role. Carlos Hyde, the clear injury away guy. I'm not sure how particularly valuable it is, but I have high confidence that's the order of things now. Tevin Coleman sits out for the Jets in Denver because of the you've got the elevation stuff with the sickle cell stuff. So Ty Johnson, Michael Carter, it's a basically a worthless committee. It's low confidence, low value, ultimately. And I don't think the starter's on the roster next year. Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay, David Johnson. Philip Lindsay's not good. David Johnson's underused. Mark Ingram's serviceable, but is in bad game script. Like, there are two touchdown plus underdog on the road this week. It's a disaster. You just can't really touch that. And that's kind of how they're going to start getting treated with Davis Mills at quarterback. Miles Gaskin, Malcolm Brown, Salvin Ahmed. Again, total uncertainty there. I don't feel good about starting any of them. I think ultimately, like, if Gaskin were to go down, Malcolm Brown would be pretty interesting. But other than that, like, I have a hard time starting these guys. Zach Moss for the Bills has vaulted up above Breida, which is interesting. It's been sort of touch and go there. But I think 2 weeks now have shown us that Zach Moss is the definitely the injury away guy, sort of at worst. He's in some sort of committee with Singletary. We'll see there ultimately what the value of that is. Two really good game script games this week. I wouldn't read a ton into that. But Singletary's running a ton of routes. Moss was getting some of the cleanup work there. And we'll sort of see how that unfolds when they get into some tougher sledding. Austin Eckler, clear lead back for the Chargers. Justin Jackson, Roundtree. I think Roundtree is the most interesting guy. They're clearly ahead of Kelly. We'll see there in terms of Jackson and Roundtree. I'm not convinced or sold on either one of those guys. And last but not least, Antonio Gibson, clear starter for Washington. Jarrett Patterson, I think, is in the mix if there's some Gibson injury, and McKissick is your pass catching option. All right, so you can go check all that out at analyticsdynasty.com. I have the link here in the show notes. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.